This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hi, my name is Oli Shoshan. I play Jedi Master Shakti in Episode 2 and Episode 3. You are listening to the Neverland podcast. Thank you.
Another world. Another time. In the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Grab that happiest thought. And let's fly away to Neverland with me, your Spider-Pan. I am the head Lost Boy. That's why I'm the Spider-Pan. My name's Jeremy. Hello there. And hey, Lost Boy Phillips here with me.
Hey.
Which, yeah, you're probably noticing everything sounds a little different. We're using a different microphone because I'm mobile again. Because we're over here, because we're gonna have some fun today. Because Philip just came back, I guess it's been a week,
almost,
from Batu. He had a little interplanetary voyage.
Yes,
so
I did.
Visited another planet, so he's gonna talk about that.
I did.
So that's mainly what we got going on this week. I was hoping to have a few more people to talk with us about their experiences as well, but that's okay. This is just gonna be fun. And heck, even Walt Disney World has got their annual pass holders previews going on. Eric will be going, I believe, August 20th, and he's
awesome.
Going to try to bring us back some audio.
Awesome.
So we're excited, and he's going to have fun, and I wish I could go with him. That, you know, I'd have fun. But I got a few stories, though. This was a fun week.
Wonderful.
So, all right, because we always like to get into the show and have a little chatter of what's been going on. So this week has been kind of interesting for me. All right, so I'll tell you, this other guy, Chris, who I kind of answer him to directly, he forgot to tell me he was going to be off this week, so I've been filling in for him. He does the sports report in the 7 o'clock hour on the radio station I work for, which I had to throw together stuff, and I'm not good at doing sports reports and everything, so I've been cobbling together stuff.
Go sports!
Normally, he would be there all day. I only work like 3 hours and doing the morning news and whatnot. And so if something happens, normally Chris would go out and cover it. Well, on, I guess it was Wednesday or Thursday. I guess it was Wednesday this week. We've had an incident in Kansas City. Happened actually nearby. The radio station I work at is in a small town called Cameron. And a couple weeks ago, a couple of guys from Wisconsin went missing. And the last place they'd been seen was a hotel in Cameron. So this has been a big story up there.
Big news. Really big news.
Well, I was on my way home one day, and we've got a brand new marketing manager in charge, John, and he gave me a call and said, hey, Chris said something that he's heard from the sheriff, Clinton County Sheriff Larry Fish, that there's going to be like a press conference or whatever today. So I got to work some extra hours because he says, I think normally Chris, I would send him to it, but Chris isn't here. Do you want to go cover this thing? So I actually grabbed the very recorder we're recording on right now, and I went to this press conference. To go and hear from the sheriff on the status of the search for these two missing boys. I don't want, or men, they're grown men. One's like 35, the other's like 24 or something. I don't want to get into the details of the story. That's not the important part. I mean, it's big, and I don't want to bring the show down. We're veering into a tragic area with this, though. But I was there to cover it, which was kind of neat because this is me stepping up to getting to do stuff. Well, in the course of trying to figure out where the press conference was, I let the other station that I fill in for, let them know, like, and asking them, hey, have you heard when it is, where it is, and everything, trying to make sure I got the details. But I got myself on the mailing list for the Caldwell County Sheriff's Department, so I'll get press releases directly to my work email. But since they had heard about it, they let MissouriNet, which is a big statewide news organization, you know, this is a big deal. They let them know that I was going to the press conference, so I get a phone call from them. Calling to Tracy. I didn't even know that they, you know, well, I guess EagleNet had Eagle Communications had my number. But so I get a call from one of their guys like, hey, we hear you're going to the press conference. Are you going to be recording it? I said, yes, I am. I even brought a video camera. I'm going to get video everything. You know, I just using my own equipment. They said, oh, well, could you send that to us? And we're going to do like a 20-second blurb. We'll have you call in and give a quick 20-second report. And I was like, well, cool. So I get to go to this press conference and I'm there. I mean, I'm the only radio guy there. But I'm, you know, all the TV stations, all the big ones are all there. There's people I recognize and everything. I was actually looking around. I got a couple of girls that I graduated with. Well, one graduated later, but Rachel graduated with me. That they work production and over at Fox 4 now. So I was kind of hoping they'd show up. I'd have been like, hi, that'd have been great to see them. They weren't there, but Fox 4 was. But I go and I get to cover it, and I go, and this same little microphone that I have here, I set it on the podium, and I just hit record and walked away and about 9 minutes before the actual press conference. So I could get good sound because I didn't have a big fancy microphone like Channel 4 did. So I got to cover it, but now here's where it got accidentally funny. So, all right, we get through the press conference, and I gather my stuff together, and I see outside all these reporters kind of gathering up. I was like, oh, they must be getting something good. I better go and get some audio. So I go hustling over, and I pull out this recorder, and I record, and they're talking to a girl who knows a suspect in the disappearance. He right now, they know he tampered with the rental vehicle that they were driving. But this girl was at least knew the family of the guy, so they were just kind of talking to her. Now, I don't think that's any such a big deal. I go back to the radio station. I edit my audio. I send it off. I do my 20-second call. MissouriNet has just loved me, thought I did a really great job of it. They want to work with me some more. I'm getting an extra $20 out of my work for them, you know, so I'm getting to do some freelance with a bigger network. That's kind of cool. I hope I get to do some more work. They have been calling me saying, have you heard anything else? Is there anything new in that story? So they're keeping with me. So that's good for the career. But what's funny is I'm like, you know, I was there with all these cameras, and I'm like, I wonder if I accidentally got on camera. Well, I get a message on Facebook like, hey, you know, I saw you on, are you working with the police or something? What's going on? Because I haven't seen you in a while. And I go and look, and then Channel 5, it's funny because you have the shot, and they're talking. I got in there before the girl started talking, but they have the shot come up on the girl they're talking to, and then suddenly I come sliding into frame. Ta-da! And it looks like I'm photobombing, but you can see I'm, you know, got this totally serious look on my face because I'm listening, and I'm just holding my recorder and letting reporters ask her questions. I'm just getting audio. But it's just funny to just suddenly see me come sliding in, like, because yeah, they had this nice, beautiful, lined-up shot with this girl, and all of a sudden, there I am. So it's accidentally funny. But the cool thing is, it was actually a good move for the career, despite my funniness. But the real funny part of what happened to me at work this week is I haven't gotten to do any production for any commercials really yet. I mean, I get emails from this website, View Creative or whatever, where we can put stuff where someone's placed an order for an ad, and here's the script, we just need somebody to record it. I get the emails, but I haven't actually stopped and just done one. So I figured I would go ahead and say, let me record one of these things. So I printed the script up, and I go into the studio to go record it, you know, the normal one where that we go on air. I started to record myself, and I turned my mic on, but I forgot there's a little button that you also push that puts that microphone in or out of program. When it's in program, it's on air. When it's out of program, it's just on the computer, and you can record. I forgot to take it out of program. So I start reading, hey, LTC, cable, whatever. And so I'm doing this, and all of a sudden here comes Eric and John at the door giving me the cutoff signal, like, you're on air, you're on air. And I was like, ah! And I was funny. I was like, oh, crap. So then I hit the button to turn my mic off. And it's funny that John looked at me and was like, try not to say crap on the air, huh?
You can't say that word on TV.
Well, he just gave me this ornery look because John, he just started and he kind of cusses a lot. And I kind of teased him because he was actually trying to fix our sink. And I told him how my bus driver used to say, you should say holy copulate and fecal matter because it makes you sound more intelligent. So I was teasing him. He says, yeah, I know I cuss too much. So me saying crap and it going out on air, and he just gives me this ornery look like, try not to say crap on the air. So I'm not in any sort of FCC trouble or anything, and nobody complained really. But it's just funny that basically they got an extra advertisement right in the middle of some other ads that were running because I was reading copy for this company. But I did eventually, I got a commercial that'll start airing, I think, August 10th on the station. So at least, look, I figured out how to do some production, and I did a good job of that one. And I just unfortunately recorded it while I was also on the air.
So but, you got a little bit of radio time.
Yes, when I wasn't meaning to, because normally I'm just on there. I do news, and I have jumped in front of a song to kind of kid around on a song or talk about what we're about to play. Or if we've got like a contest, we just gave away some concert tickets from some country singer. Because we also have a classic country station, so there was a concert, we gave away some tickets, so I'll jump in and do that. We've had our guests give away and stuff like that, so, but I've even come in as the song was starting. Have you ever heard Blinded by the Light?
I have heard that.
And again, okay, so the actual line of the song is revved up like a deuce, but if you hear the way he pronounced it, it sounds completely different.
I know what you're
saying. I made a joke. It's like, so how many people have heard these lyrics wrong for years?
Yeah.
And this is Blinded by the Light by, I forgot the name of the band. So, but I, you know, I've done stuff like that, but this is the first time I really blundered so much to where they had me reading an ad over the other ads, and that it was something you'd expect on WKRP.
Yes,
I should have just got on the mic. So by the way, booger,
you know, Leslie Nielsen, or
I'm Johnny Fever.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say booger on Monday. I guess
every episode,
say,
you know,
booger.
I got every episode.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yes, it is classic.
So yeah, that was my comedy week. This is what happens when I'm left on my own because Heather's been out of town. As
she takes care of you.
I go a little crazy at work apparently. So, but I apparently I still have a job. So.
There you go. There you go.
I'll find out on Monday if they decided, oh, you didn't hear, you said crap on the airwaves. You know, you can't do that. So it's like, oh, crap. I've heard a lot worse said on radio stations than crap. I know I've said it now a lot of times on my family friendly podcast. And yeah, I don't think I'll get complaint letters on this either. So.
There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Hey, a movie!
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie!
Starring everybody!
And me!
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time!
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken!
Oh, good!
But before we get into your visit to Batuu, and I guess somebody has asked why I haven't said anything about the new Lion King movie. I just finally saw it today. I got an opportunity finally.
And how was it?
So, I will say it's very unnecessary because it's pretty much the same movie. And almost at times shot for shot, which I actually didn't mind. I mean, it's a good movie, but it's good because it's basically balancing stuff on the greatness that's the original.
Yeah.
I found it to be a little joyless because some of the humor was taken out because they're like, well, they're trying to be real about everything. But it was almost so realistic that it lost the fun that there is. And because there's if you watch it, yeah, there's some dark story. You know, it's good, serious, you know, it's Hamlet.
It is Hamlet.
But there's funny. There's humor with the because basically Shenzi has been turned into now she's the leader of the hyenas.
I see.
You've got Banzai and Ed pretty much in there, but they're completely got personality overhauls. They're very different, and the only thing that's supposed to be funny about them is that Ed is talking completely normal, and you can tell it's Ed because he's got a piece of his ear missing. But he's got no idea of personal spaces, so he's always getting too close to Banzai. And Banzai's like, have we not talked about this personal space thing? And they have this running gag on that, but it really wasn't that funny.
Yeah.
They were a lot funnier, and Ed was so much more fun in the cartoon, but they tried so hard to make it serious that it's almost a joyless film. Yeah. But it's a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, if I hadn't seen the animated, I think I would, you know, I would not have anything to compare it to, but I mean, it's still good. I do see what people are saying about the eyes of the characters, because they're trying to be so real. They're not nearly as expressive.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to do some stuff with some eyelid closure, but they're not doing anything with the eyebrow or anything to have the characters really emote. And it seems like they struggled. So it seems like they were trying to have them emote, but it doesn't quite come across.
Yeah.
But that said, I did enjoy it, and I loved the opening, the circle of life. They tried to recreate it shot for shot, except for it looks like real animals.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful the way they did it.
I'd love to see that.
That was great. Although when I came home, I wanted to compare, so I watched the animated, and still the animated, it's more artistic.
Oh, sure.
At the beginning, it's more beautiful.
It's a great film.
It's, yeah.
25 years later, you know, and it still just stands out.
I've even seen like a YouTube video of trying to say, what is the most beautiful animated film of all time? And they ranked The Lion King as being the number one.
It is one of the greatest.
It is a beautiful looking film, and they even take breaks in the original animated to just show, here's the rain sweeping in, and you have Hans Zimmer's beautiful scoring.
Oh, outstanding.
Which I'm glad to hear the Hans Zimmer scoring was back in full effect, and used very, you know, Mufasa was even cooler, actually, in this live action.
Really?
He was more, you know, and he had, when he would come in, he had this grand sweeping Mufasa theme, which is a theme you've heard in the original movie, but it's used like very much Mufasa.
Well, and he got the same voice.
Yes.
That's the thing that I said earlier.
It made it that much more impactful when he dies.
Really?
Spoiler warning, I'm sorry if you haven't seen the original Lion King. Yeah. But,
and it is Hamlet, like
And it was so well done that there were some kids somewhere behind me when Mufasa died was inconsolable crying.
Oh.
When Mufasa died. Baby. And I was sitting there like, I get it, kid. I get it. Because I was like, wow, this seemed more real. I felt it more than the animated.
Wow.
So I got to give credit. And you should see this
I
one.
Do want
definitely.
To. Yes, absolutely.
And if you have, I don't know that I would have a little kid see it, because these animal fights are a little scarier maybe to a kid, because it's real animal looking.
Yeah.
It's not as, you know, it's not cartoony. It's vicious. It's violent. It's National Geographic. I mean, without the blood.
Yeah.
So I don't know how young a kid I would take in. There was a 4-year-old like a couple seats down with me that wouldn't shut up the entire movie. That drove me crazy. But where's his dad? Is his dad dead? Constantly. I'm like, okay, tell your kid we have to be quiet and watch the movie.
Yeah, I grew up that way.
So because I was told you don't talk in the movie, you watch. And so I didn't talk in the movies. But so I had that going on. But I was a little worried. It's like, wow, with a younger kid, that could be a little scary, because it gets daggum violent. And the hyenas, they didn't want the hyenas to be funny at all. They're now violent. Except for you do have their version of Banzai and Ed that are supposed to be funny with personal space, which was amusing, but I didn't laugh out loud. Now, one thing I will give them some credit to, although Timon and Pumbaa were boring compared to the original.
Yeah.
They weren't nearly as funny, but they did try to take some of their jokes and do it a different way. Which I would love to have seen the luau scene, but they actually did a different thing when they were trying to be bait, and it was funny.
Yeah.
And I think it worked as being funny to me because it was slightly different. It was the same concept, but it was funny because it was unexpected what they did, and I laughed out loud. That's the only time I really laughed out loud, which unfortunately, I laughed through when I first saw the original. I laughed through the whole thing.
Yeah,
it was
great.
Yeah,
that's a great movie.
But this one, I really only laughed at one. There's some people who kind of laugh like at stuff like, okay, you've seen the original, you know that was coming. When they're talking, of course, our pal is doomed.
Yeah.
There's some parents that I heard, like, you're forcing that laughter because you knew that joke was there.
Yeah.
But I would have laughed at that if they would have at least kept it, and they took that out.
Yeah.
That's why this movie felt kind of joyless. The big impact humor was kind of removed or changed to give us a different kind of joke so we could still laugh at it. Like, oh, it's that joke, but now you did that joke a different way, and that was funny to me again. Thank you. I appreciated that. So, you know, but it's a good movie.
When the first one came out, I remember you and I bought the soundtrack
before
the film.
I had that soundtrack with me when I went on that pilgrimage thing.
Yes, I remember.
And
you went to New York, yes.
The movie released while I was gone.
Yeah,
but I had that soundtrack. I had the songs memorized
I
saw the
movie. Same here. When I saw the film.
That and the Flintstones soundtrack.
Yes. It was 94.
Yes.
I started making basically a tradition of buying the soundtrack before the movie came out, and it was so much fun. Like, even when I went and saw Pocahontas, I had the whole thing, which, by the way, the soundtrack was the best part of that movie, in my opinion. I just watched it the other day. I loved having the soundtrack memorized so that when I saw the film, I was almost like a part of the film.
Yeah.
For me. I don't get me wrong. I did not sing out loud.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind
don't
of
do
person.
That.
No. Some people do. I don't do that.
There was somebody behind me who was starting trying to toe tap a Hakuna Matata behind me. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, please don't.
Just yeah, because I don't believe in doing that to other people. But
yeah.
In my mind, I do. in my mind, I do that because it makes it kind of fun for me.
Yeah.
But it was
beautiful. We used to do that all the time. Beauty and the Beast. We sat and we listened to that soundtrack before the movie came out. Yeah,
absolutely.
We've had fun with the soundtrack.
Hunchback of Notre Dame. I got to see that the day before it opened.
I don't think I got the soundtrack until after I saw the movie, though, that time.
Great memories, though, mm-hmm. and Lion King's right there with them.
There is one problem with the music. Overall, Circle of Life was probably the best recreation. Hakuna Matata was all right. Can You Feel the Love Tonight was okay. They didn't do too bad with the song of I Just Can't Wait to Be King, but it's no fun because in the animated, I mean, it's colorful and bright and it's vibrant. And it's this big production number. And this, of course, because we're trying to go for realism, you've got a scene in their story taking place where they're trying to hide away from Zazu so they can escape to go run off to the elephant graveyard. And so you've got story going on, but it lost the pizzazz and the fun of it. And Be Prepared was reduced to like one verse.
No.
And that's my favorite song.
Oh, I love that song.
I love that song. And it was pretty much, it should have just cut the whole thing the way they did it.
That's same.
I was so disappointed. But, you know, because they just cut it because they didn't want to have him talk about, you know, their powers of pretension as wet as a warthog's backside. They didn't want to do that because the way they set it up in this. Now, the original, you've kind of got the feeling song. Scar and the hyenas had already known each other. It's like, oh, you're our pal. You have that whole scene. This actually had Scar introduce himself to the hyenas.
Oh.
So they're just meeting. So he doesn't want to call them as wet as a warthog's backside and call them dumb or anything. So there was only one line of the song that they could use. And that's pretty much the chorus. Be prepared because, hey, we're going to kill the king. That's it. And I was disappointed because that is such a great production. And the scene with
written.
You know, goose stepping past him. And
that's great. That's a great scene.
That's a callback
to the Nazis.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a great.
Completely gone. Not in this one.
Historically, but that was great.
So it's a good movie, but
it's not great. It's compared to the other.
Some of the stuff they left out. However, some of the additions were fantastic.
Oh, I'm still going to see it.
I would call at least. Well, there was one addition that I thought was a little unnecessary. You know, the little mouse that Scar's going to grab at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
We got to follow it around in its daily routine with this happy little music until Scar grabs it. And it kind of carries on and drags on. I'm like, okay, we get it. This is the mouse Scar's going to grab. Okay, anytime now. All right, spend 5 minutes with this mouse. Come on. You know. And
that's, you know that it's going to end sad.
I think where they were trying to add it more of an impact, but there are some scenes that just kind of drug it out a little bit. It felt like they were just extending it for time, so it kind of drug the scene, drug along. But one thing they did, and I don't want to spoil anything, but okay. In the original film, Simba kind of flops down, and some plant life kind of goes around. Yes. Like, you said you'd always be better than me, but you're not.
So, quote, unquote.
And then we just go straight to Rafiki. Eating his stuff. And Simba. He smells Simba. They did it differently because they really went for that theme of we're all connected in the great circle of life.
That's cool.
And how they did that happen. This time, though, it's a patch of hair comes off of his mane and into the wind. But a bunch of stuff happens before it gets to Rafiki.
I look forward to seeing that.
And you see it connecting to all kinds of different animals are coming across and doing different things with this wad of hair. It was beautiful.
Oh, I look forward to seeing that.
It really felt the Circle of Life theme was being brought up and showing this is... See how we're all connected? All these other animals unwittingly are helping this get to Rafiki and bring Simba home.
That sounds
great. That was the best thing they added. I was like, this is beautiful. I love this. This was great. So I don't want to tell you. I feel like I spoiled it a little bit.
It's fine.
But when you see it... And I will say that after watching them recreate Circle of Life, I almost applauded when the title came up because it felt... Remember when you first saw the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Because when they put the trailer, they hold the whole sequence.
Yeah, they did.
And because it was perfect and it really got you... I got to see this movie. That's what it felt like, how well the opening is done in this. I almost was going to be like, well done, you know, because it was so great. Definitely... worth watching. I'm probably gonna buy it.
Yeah,
I still prefer the animated, but that's typical. But it wasn't necessary to be made, but it's worth watching.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
Yeah.
So, all right, was there anything else I wanted to go in before we're talking about Batu?
I will say this: I am glad that they made it like the original.
Yeah.
Because I don't like when for those who like the movie, I'm not putting you down. But when they made Cinderella, I love Cinderella so much. That when they remade it, and it was good. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. But they changed enough to where I didn't feel like I was watching Cinderella, really.
Yeah.
I did say, I was thinking, though, one thing I did like a lot about the live action was that you felt more about the prince, and I like that.
Yeah,
because I didn't know him much in the cartoon.
Right.
So I like that, but there were certain things about it that I thought, I hate to put down the actress, because she is a good actress, and mm-hmm. I've seen her in other things. I think she's really good. But
I don't know if I've seen her in anything else.
She's been in a few things, but Mamma Mia 2 being one of them. But, but that being said, she just didn't seem like Cinderella to me. And that's just one of the things. So some of the remakes that
they didn't make that as a musical at all, though, did they?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't remember.
I've only watched it once. I've got it on digital. Yeah.
The
first time I watched this when I bought it, because I was like, you know what, Cinderella, let me just watch
there
this.
Was a few things that these remakes that they're doing that are really, really good. Mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast being my favorite so far. There are certain things about
it. I like it. I like it, but when it came out on Netflix, I didn't feel compelled to watch it again. I didn't feel compelled to buy it.
I love the new song.
Yeah, it's not as good as the musical version. And I think I was hoping too much for some of the music from the musical to be bled in.
I just know
they
did a good job making like the cartoon with a few little new things. And that I like.
And that's what I like when they remake them and they add and develop the characters more. I like that.
I like the dad a lot more in the live action. Because you got Kevin.
Oh, you got Maurice and Kevin Klein.
Klein.
And I liked him.
I liked the new song of Beast. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But I like when they make him like the cartoon with just a little more.
Just add some more backstory.
But don't change
the story. Right. Don't change the characters, but give them a bit more depth, and I'm happy if I get to learn more about the characters.
That's great.
Which is why I actually kind of like Cinderella. I felt it gave me a little bit more backstory, but yet still gave me the same story.
Yeah.
So. I don't want them to, like, Maleficent. I hated that movie.
I haven't seen it.
Don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go to the sequel either, because I was like, you know what? I'll probably just not like it.
I would say just do Sleeping Beauty and make it like the old ballet and everything. And
that'd have been cool.
Yeah, that's
kind
what
of,
I want.
You know, do like the ballet. I guess they should have probably done that with Nutcracker. Just added that element of the ballet in.
Yeah,
maybe more
that would have been a lot more fun.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion.
I'm hoping, though, because I've been hearing that they've got rights to the Chronicles of Prydain to try to redo Black Cauldron, but I hear that they can do all of the books.
That would be great.
And I hope now that they can actually take some time with it and do all the books and give everything some more time, because that Black Cauldron movie, it's very, very cool, but it's missing out on the story because they tried to do two books in one.
Yeah.
But if they had the time to work and do each book, they would be great. So remaking the Black Cauldron and making it more like the book would be great.
And you know, I'd like to see this because I love Kurgan. I mean, Kurgi. Gurgi. Excuse me. I love that character.
Yeah.
He had a stuffed toy of him for years. I like to see him computerized. That'd be really cute.
Well, I think if I remember correctly, he's actually supposed to be a lot bigger, and he's not this tiny little thing. He's this big, ugly thing with stuff in his fair.
Oh, but I love that character.
He's still a great character.
Yeah.
But he's different. They kind of added some extra story elements for Gurgi just to make it more impactful for his attempted sacrifice, really.
He was cute.
They did some stuff to make him more annoying.
Yeah, sure. I mean, for kids' sake.
But have you never read these books? They're great books.
No, I never got to read them.
I think there's 5 books in the series. It's a great series. So anyway, if you haven't read the Chronicles of Prydain, start with the Book of 3, and then the Black Cauldron is like the second book.
Really?
Good books. And they're short. They're really short because they're meant for kids. But they're great books, and when I was hearing about Disney trying to get the rights on to make the films, that way they could recreate the Black Cauldron, but maybe do it right this time.
Yeah,
and do better because I mean the look and everything. You know,
the villain was scary for me.
Yeah,
as a kid.
But he was actually a Book of 3 villain, and they did him. They kind of mixed him with the main villain. The main villain was a lot scarier when he's not mixed with the Horned King. The Horned King is more in Willow, General, whatever is what they based him more off what the Horned King was in the book. Really, to me, he's exactly what the Horned King should be, because he's supposed to be a great military leader, not a sorcerer. He's not the big bad. The big bad is much worse.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So, but they never got into the big bad because they were only going to make one movie. So I'm hoping, you know, next time around. But yeah, I really like it. And if they're going to remake it, I like if
Kale.
It's
Kale.
General Kale. He's pretty much what the Horned King should be like.
Yeah.
So, but we're moving right along here. We're nearly halfway into the show, and it's time to get in some good talk. Well, of course, was there any news that I really just have to jump? You know what? I post news on the Facebook page. If I'm going to have any news, maybe I'll have Eric record some park news. But I'm kind of getting away from that a little bit because I just want to have fun conversations. And you got to go to Batuu.
Yes, I did.
To Disney and beyond.
Yes, I did. I got to go last week.
Were you flown over there by a little pilot named Rex by any chance? You know, because I...
Yes.
I hear there's this, like, a little company. I don't know if he works there anymore because I hear he might have taken a job as a DJ.
Yes. Something to that effect. I got to go...
we know the planet was real. You really went to a planet.
Yes, I really did.
It was for real.
I was blessed and I got to go to Disneyland last week and I really enjoyed myself. When I went there, I got to go to a planet all on my own.
No, somewhere out in the Outer Rim.
Outer Rim, yeah. That's right. No, I got to go to the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and I was really happy to do so. And
of course you were.
Yes, I was thrilled. The thing is, I didn't even know if I was going to get to go on the ride, because what y'all don't know is I was in a wheelchair, because I just a week before had brain surgery number 7. And so I wasn't for certain that I was going to get to do it, but I did get to do it. And I was thrilled, especially the first time, because I got to go in there and I got to be in the position of Chewbacca. And
your co-pilot.
I was co-pilot. Oh, I was thrilled. Oh, you get to hear that on the ride. You get to hear Chewbacca.
Yeah, because Chewbacca's supposed to be like one. But let's back up a little bit, because you jumped straight to the ride.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help.
We got a whole land.
Oh,
so I want to hear. Okay, because I've seen like two different entrances. There's one entrance that comes through the marketplace, and another one you walk by, and there's like a Jedi Starfighter. Or at least in Walt Disney World, I was watching some footage, and there's a Jedi Starfighter out there. There's an X-Wing out there.
I didn't get to see all that, but when I went into this in Disneyland, when I was going through there, I tell you, the moment that you start entering in, there is a little entrance way, like an arc. Mm-hmm. And as I was going through there, oh my gosh, my heart was beating so fast. It was like a little bridge thing, and I was so excited. And you know, it's new; everything's new, but it looks old.
Right,
it looks so old, and I was so excited. And when I got in there, I got to see these troopers walk by from the newer movies.
Yeah,
but it was great.
Did you get to interact with them?
Oh,
they're really funny.
For just a second. Yeah, they were. For just a second I did, after I'd used the restroom. And I was so excited. Even the restroom had me excited.
What was in there?
It was the best restroom I'd ever been in. even Amanda said that, my wife, even said that. It was like, because when you go in there, the sign, for those who are like on wheelchairs and all that, for those, they had this really cool looking symbol for that. But also, it looks all messed up. It looks all old and everything.
Which normally in a bathroom, you'd be like, ew.
Yeah, you'd be like, ew. But you go in there and it looks like it's futuristic in a way. And you go up there and you wash your hands and everything. And you put your hands underneath this thing and air is all like futuristic looking. This air comes shooting down on your hands and everything. It's really cool looking. I can't explain it with words, but it's really cool.
Air?
Yeah, you in order to dry your hands.
Oh, to dry. Okay, because I was.
It's like
I was at the sink trying to wash my hands.
In one little place. In one little place, you can wash your hands, soap your hands, and dry in one little spot.
Oh, kind of like that theater in Liberty.
Yes, but it all looks like it's in the future. It all looks robotic. It's really cool looking. And so,
is it outside those bathrooms? Because I've seen drinking fountains where you have like two different fountains. One where it looks like it's full of water, and the other one, the water looks a little murky, and a Dianaga will poke its head out where it's like this tank that's supposed to be feeding the water. I've seen some video. I'm like, so where is that? Because I would totally drink the Dianaga water just for fun.
I came out of that bathroom, and there were troopers standing there and kind of poking at everybody, like, what are you doing here? And what were you doing? And it was, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, because you're really on Batuu.
Yeah, you are. You're on Batuu.
And the First Order is, you know, I've heard some audio where if you're on your phone or whatever, they'll say, what are you doing with that device?
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Hand it over, you know.
What was funny was this older man, they were kind of like getting on him, and he looks up, looking real serious. He's looking up almost scared. I was thinking, pick on me.
Please. Because they've got, you know, because they're pre-recorded stuff for them to say. Because you can tell because it's got that trumpeter voice. But it's they got enough stuff on there where they can perfectly interact with just about anything. It's genius. Can.
It was great, man. And everybody that was around was sitting there looking at them, and we all had smiles on our face. Yeah. We were loving it. It was great. And they would go around to another person, and they say stuff like, get in line and stuff like that. It was awesome. Get out of our way.
I'd have so much fun with
Oh, you would love it. It felt so great to be, because it felt real. I mean, I was like, wow, I'm actually here.
I'm watching people get harassed by stormtroopers.
It was awesome. This is what I was waiting for since I was 1 year old. Yeah. I wasn't even one when the movie came out, the original movie. It was so great. And I turned the corner.
I wasn't even one when it came out either. I was Negative one day.
Yeah, there you go.
Negative one day.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I turned the corner, and they had those red flags coming down with this symbol from the new movies.
Oh.
And then there was a ship. Yeah, there was like a, almost like the Emperor's ship looking thing. Yeah, well,
Kylo Ren is supposed to, his ship is out there, and apparently he'll come at the right time. He will arrive.
Oh, really?
I didn't see that. He'll be going around the park with his stormtroopers, apparently. Oh. They even have somebody out there. You might find it. There's a rebel spy wandering around in there that you can help her.
Oh, I didn't see that.
She mainly, I think, she gets kids, but even stuff you can interact with your phone with some items around in Galaxy's Edge, you can do stuff to either help the First Order or help the Rebels, and it keeps score every day on what's happening. But it's part of one of the Disney apps.
Awesome.
But the Rebel spy, I've heard stories of where she asks people to help her hide when the stormtroopers come by.
Oh, cool.
Because the stormtroopers, that's their goal. They're looking for that rebel spy, so they'll even kind of harass people and try to see if they're the rebel spy.
Well, I'm telling you, it was a blast.
Resistance spy, sorry.
I went to a line, and I got to buy a drink. I got to buy, there was a bar. I didn't go in there, of course. But
well, you could go into the cantina and get non-alcoholic
well,
and get
food. I went in there. I was going to go in there.
Because you got to see the
cantina.
There
were so many people.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And I was in a wheelchair. Mm. There were so many people, they said I couldn't fit in there.
Oh.
So they said, sorry, you can't fit. Because I wanted to go in.
Yeah.
I even told them I'd leave my chair if I could just step in and take a look. And they said, I'm sorry, buddy, you can't fit in there.
Yeah, so, they've been having to take reservations, I think, still for that one. Because everybody wants to go in there and eat. Yeah.
I just
because that's
see
where
it.
DJ Rex is, because he's no longer piloting ships. He's in there, you know. And I've seen some, same man, he's got like one hand up, but he's...
Yeah, I just wanted to see it, man. Oh. I really did. But yeah. I couldn't because I'm, you know, in a wheelchair. But the great thing was being there and everything. You really felt real. Everything felt real. And then as I was coming out, I saw that they were selling drinks, and they had the blue and green milk.
Yeah. Now, I've heard the green milk is a little citrusy, but not everybody likes it.
The blue milk,
everybody seems to love.
The blue milk is what I got. Because I thought, between the two, of course, I'm the old school. So I got the blue milk. And it was good. But the funny thing is,
Wait, what did it taste like, though?
It says non-dairy.
Right. Because it's actually, I think it's, I've heard, like, people think there might be a little some coconut in it.
Maybe. The blue milk, I don't know how to explain it, but it did have a little bit of it was tropical, but kind of pina colada-ish, a little bit, not completely.
Yeah, it's probably because the coconut make it a little pina colada-ish.
But it was good, but I was kind of hoping for milk-ish, like, you know, but it was more like a frozen, kind of like a shake.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And also, I was in a hurry to get to the ride.
Right.
I didn't know that you could take it in with you and drink it in the line. I didn't know that, so I was trying to drink it fast, and it gave myself a horrible headache.
Oh, brain freeze.
Not to mention, I just had
he's sitting here with staples on his head right now.
Yeah, because I'm in between surgeries. So
the next surgery, though, is not on his head, though.
No, thank God. But anyway, I'm sitting there trying to get in the line, and the great thing is I was getting in the line, and you know I'm excited about riding the ride.
Well, did you spend some time looking at the Falcon, though, for a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I took my picture. I was. Oh. That was the dream come true.
Yeah.
And the other dream come true was I wanted to be Chewbacca, because that's my favorite. So whenever they handed me the pilot ticket, I was – because you get six different things. You can be a pilot. You can be an engineer. Or you can be a gunner.
Yeah, and on each side of it.
The second time I was an engineer. But the first time it said pilot, and I got to choose, and I wanted to be in Chewbacca's spot. So I had no problem handing over.
You get the hyperspace controls on that side, don't
yes.
you? Yes. So you'd be like, I'm punching it.
And I thought to myself, I said, they're going to hate me. I'm about to go, but I didn't have to, because it did it on its own. I was like, yes!
Chewie's there, yeah, because Chewie's supposed to be monitoring your mission and everything, making sure you don't destroy the ship.
I was so thrilled. I was so thrilled, but when I decided to do this, and you go quicker when you're on your own in a way, because they wanted me to go up there and get her done with the wheelchair and all. Problem is, it was like going uphill all the way. But luckily, this nice group of people behind me grabbed me and started pushing me up, because there was no way I was going to be able to do it on my own.
Mm.
I don't have all the feeling in one of my hands. So they grabbed me and started pushing me up, and it was a long way up. So I got up there and got through it real quick. It took about 70 minutes to get through line. With mine, it took like maybe 10, 15 minutes. Mm. So that was nice. I got up through that. I get in there, and man, when I saw the padding and everything in there, just like on the ship itself in the movies, I was thrilled. It was like dreams come true.
Yeah,
I felt like I
was dreaming.
I saw you
took a picture at the game board.
I took bunches of, I took pictures everywhere.
Yeah, it would have been fun to get a picture at that, because you can find the spot where Han and Leia have their kiss.
But, man.
I don't think you were going to be recreating that.
No.
We won't get into why, but...
No, but I could have tried.
Believe me, Heather and I get there, I'm totally saying, somebody please get the picture. We gotta do it.
It was a great time. I really was. So when the thing started up, I even grabbed my phone and started taking pictures, but we were in such a fast motion at that point. It's mostly just wild-looking pictures. Mm. But, boy, it was a fun time. I enjoyed flying, and...
What'd you think of the Hondo Inaka animatronic there?
Oh, that was great.
That was because
it moved real.
It's really, really neat how they, because that character, amazing. He's kind of a cool character anyway, but from like Rebels and he started with Clone Wars. I'm amazed at how well that character has just caught on to where they made him.
I knew that he looked familiar. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's been in the series. They even got the same voice. They got Jim Cummings to come in and add voice for him.
Well, of course, Jim Cummings.
To see this character kind of like Ahsoka. Ahsoka has become this thing. I love the fact that some of these animated characters have never been in a movie, but people love them so much that they've managed to get him. Even though, how old must Hondo Inaka be? Because he's in the Clone Wars. Yeah. I don't know what age he's supposed to be. Yeah. I don't know what, you know,
I knew his race might live a long time. I've not been on the other.
Yeah, in Rebels, yeah. He shows him in Rebels, and he's kind of old in Star Wars Rebels, but this is like 30 years even after that. So, I mean, he's at least age 60 years from the animated series to now. So how old is this dude? And he's still running the smuggling operation.
And they have some...
And Chewie trusts him enough to let him borrow the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
It's like, this guy, like, double-crosses and everything. He's a funny character. Yeah. It's like, but I'm that's the thing I would be looking forward to is the Hondo and Akko going around there and that.
And then they have a person, and I don't know that it's Jim, but they have a person playing him on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen where he's, like, talking to you and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if they animated or if they did some puppetry or what.
Well, it looks pretty real. It looks like it's a guy in a suit or cool. Makeup. Now, I could be wrong about that, but it looks real.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And then when you're going through all the things, they say, and I don't know if it's absolutely true or not, but they say that every little thing you do, controls what's happening. So, like, if you go up the wrong way, boom, you feel it. But it's pretty awesome.
And I've heard the control's a little touchy.
Yeah, it is. Because you don't know exactly what you're doing, but it's
old
fun.
Video game player, though, man. No biggie. I can pilot this thing. You'd do better if it was a wrestling game, but, you know, yeah, I can do this.
I'm telling you, it's fun. The second time, I was able to talk my wife into doing it with me. She went in there. Don't take that wrong. I was able to...
That sounds like married life.
Yeah, I was
able to... I was able to talk to my wife. Never mind. Okay, no, family anyway, show.
I got her to go up there. But the great thing was, because I couldn't really, on my own, go up that big hills in line, they allowed her and I to go up there, and they allowed us just to go straight through the second line, which was to go quick. And that was... See, this one, I'm trying to tell you, Disney's great. They're very sweet. On that second day, this was a week ago today, I had a seizure waiting in to get my wheelchair. Mm. Disney's so sweet, and they really are, that they all came to help me out, and those seizures are horrible. They gave me a wheelchair for free that day.
Oh, good.
To use it.
I mean, they actually normally charge you? Or they do, but here's the thing.
It's like this. For a regular wheelchair, it's $32, but they give you $20 back at the end of the day. So it's $12, and it's well worth it, because you get through lines much quicker. Yeah. Now, the electric chair, don't take that like that. No, the chair that is the electronic is $70, but you get $20 back. So I just can't afford the $50.
Yeah.
That's too much. It would have been easier for her and me, but in truth, I just couldn't. So if I had known they were going to pay for it, maybe. But that being said, I thought that was really nice of Disney. They took care of it. But we went through, and we went through the line again, and this time we was the engineers in the back. And there's still a lot of fun stuff to do.
Yeah.
Hitting buttons.
And the nice thing is you've already been a pilot, so you've gotten to watch everything. So, engineer, you can pay attention to your job. Because I've heard some complaints would be like, when you're trying to be an engineer, you can't really watch what's happening because you got to keep hitting all your buttons. Yeah.
But she enjoyed it that way because she was, talking about my wife here, she was a little nervous being on those things. She gets sick real quick. Mm. And so
Motion sickness.
So she gets but she really enjoyed it, which surprised me. Because I could not talk her into going on there first. So this time it was really nice and she enjoyed it. The other ride we did, Star Tours, which, I love that ride.
Which now apparently instead of going to indoor, you go to Batuu at the end of it?
I got to go to different things. We got to do the original one first. When we went back again, which I couldn't believe I got to talk her into doing.
You mean like it actually did the Death Star run thing?
The first time. The second time.
I didn't know they still even ran into that. I'm sure they've recreated it and spruced it up though.
They did a lot of things. But
I didn't know the Death Star run was still there.
I got to do a few different things. And the second time I got to go on it, this was great. I got to do it the second time with going to the Force Awakens. I mean, the Last Jedi.
You got to go to that salt planet.
It was great. That was maybe the coolest thing. I thought, this is the best thing about the Last Jedi, because you go into the salt planet and you're like hitting all the red salt.
Oh,
and
neat.
You're going in between the AT-ATs or AT-AT, however you want to say them. And
they're AT-ATs.
Yeah, I mean, they're all AT-ATs. The old toy commercial said AT-AT.
That's
so
right,
therefore
brother.
Kenner.
That's right.
They're always going to be AT-ATs to me.
That's right.
So anyway, we're going through and we're hitting the legs and going. It was the best.
It was
awesome. I'm telling you, that was the coolest I'd ever seen.
Yeah, and they've got, I don't even know how many scenarios you can have, because it'll, you know, you get randomly like three different things every time.
Yeah, we kept going to different things. It was great.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it was awesome.
But I didn't know they had done anything to recreate the original version.
Well,
that
it was just different parts of it, I think. But it was like, because
that's one of the things we're worried about, is that they would have lost the Death Star run, because I loved the Death Star run.
Yeah, but there was parts of that in there. And I think they went to a different place.
I thought you were picking on a staple in your head. I was like, oh, please don't pick on the staple.
No. And then the other great thing was we went to Soarin'.
Oh.
And they've gone back to the completely original. Because people
are complaining. They have?
Yeah, because they completely, people were complaining
about
it.
So now they're soaring over California instead of soaring around the world. Wow.
Yeah, and it was great, because my wife was talking about how much she misses the old original, wish we could do it again. Also, it started from the original, and she was so excited. It was
great. I wonder, though, if they've got Soarin' Over California in Disneyland and the Disney World might be still playing Soarin' Around the World.
I don't know, maybe.
I'm going to have to find out, because I kind of wonder about that.
But I love...
It makes more sense in Disneyland to have Soarin' Over California.
Sure, it does.
Because you stop in Disneyland.
Yeah,
and that. So... It makes sense that they would have that there, but maybe Walt Disney World, they have the other one just to make it different.
It's such a great ride.
Somebody confirm that and email me, please.
Yeah, it's such a great ride. It really is.
Yeah, I want to ride it. I missed out on it when I was there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm coming up on the 10-year anniversary of my one and only trip.
Yeah, well, maybe you could. I'm going back to Disney World.
Would anybody be willing to chip into a Patreon to send me back?
I'm going to Disney World at least one day coming up this spring, as I'm going to WrestleMania. And we're gonna be in Florida anyway, so we're planning on me and James and others. We're gonna plan on going to one day there, and I am definitely going back to
because the Galaxy's Edge will be open in
going back to Galaxy's Edge. I tell you that.
Yeah, well, if I could afford to even go to WrestleMania with you guys, I would. But right now, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Although apparently my career is taking a step up this week, as I mentioned before, because I got noticed, and I've got a lot of comments on that, how well I did for that news story and how much they liked that audio, and so they're really, really happy with me. I'm like, all right, cool. That's like, although I'm afraid I'm stepping my world into being a journalist, and I don't want to be a journalist. I'm an on-air personality. And even Dr. Moore, one of the final things he said to me when I was doing my final on the TV is that I am a big personality.
You do.
And I'm a big personality who deserves to be on morning radio, and I shouldn't be a journalist, but I can do it if I need to. But I didn't train and study on that. There are people better at being a journalist than I am.
This is Les Nessman.
Yeah. I know some journalism majors are doing great things. But anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. But So I'm hoping my career is going to be fully big and launched, and I will be able to put back some money and take that Disney trip.
But I'm telling you, Galaxy's Edge is wonderful. That I loved it. I hope that you all can go.
Did you go look at any of the shops?
I did, and I didn't get everything I wanted because you know it's hard.
Yeah, it's expensive.
I did get one thing I really wanted, and I thought they were going to have the Main Street, and they didn't. And I plan on ordering it. They had this wonderful little coffee cup. They had the, you got to remember, I'm old school. They had the three original movie posters of the trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Almost said trilogy. And they came on this kind of a vanilla looking coffee cup, and it had the handle that looked like a lightsaber.
Oh.
And I wanted, like the handle of one. I wanted it so bad.
And this was on like Main Street Disneyland, so not actually on Batuu, because apparently in Batuu,
well,
the merchandise is like completely changed.
Yeah, that's
around.
What it was Batuu, and I thought they were going to have a Main Street. They didn't have Main Street.
Yeah, because Batuu is supposed to be completely different. Like you're buying in-world merchandise.
And there's also like a ornament I wanted to get, and we thought they were going to have it Main Street. And
they won't.
And
they'll keep it separate. You might not even be able to order online because it's supposed to be on a different planet.
Yeah, and I wanted so badly to get it, but I know why we didn't was because we was afraid it would break. You know,
it was
very breakable. There was an ornament of Millennium Falcon. See, some of the stuff they did have Main Street, some they didn't. There was an ornament of the Millennium Falcon, and I wanted that because I got to fly the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah,
you know? So I wanted that. It was a very nice ornament. And then there was a couple other things that I wanted I didn't get, but I couldn't afford it on Main Street. I might get it later. You can order it. I saw there is a kind of like a not necessarily a backpack, but like a oh, what's I'm looking for? Like a package that you can carry stuff in.
Like a hip pack.
Like
a
hip pack. But it has the Chewbacca
the strap.
And I was like, oh, I want that. Oh, that is so neat. Cool.
Even if you didn't have anything to carry in it, just like, I'm wearing it.
Oh, it was so cool. It was. I'll go to the theater to see the new movie wearing that.
There you go. There you go.
Snacks.
Sneaking in and drinking snacks.
I'm telling you, that was the coolest.
Yeah.
It wasn't cheap. It was like 100 and something. And I'm telling you, but I mean, it made out of leather and everything else, but I was like, hey.
So it was like authentic.
Yeah, it was awesome. Woo. It was awesome. See,
When I get in there, I want to have at least $300 extra just saved up.
You got
just to get a droid and build a lightsaber.
I saw them building droids, and they were really neat.
That's one of the things I thought about. I was like, should I send him with $100 and just build me a droid? But like, no, I want the experience of doing it myself.
That's half the fun.
Because building it and choosing a personality. Granted, I'm going to go in. I'm just going to build R2-D2.
They even had...
I'm not going to be creative. I just want R2-D2.
I'll tell you something else they had. I didn't do it. But they actually had build your own little action figures. Yeah, they had like little...
Can you make one that looks like yourself?
I don't think about
that.
That
would be really cool.
They had like little androids you can make and rather be C-3POs. They had little R2-D2 looking things, and I don't remember the others because I didn't get to look at them all, but I know they had all that kind of stuff. I wish you could make yourself. That'd be really cool.
That'd be fun, because I know at one point they have had special events where they have companies that they'll scan your face, and you have to wait for the figure to come to you because they got to mold it, but they can do it like, you know, with a 3D printer type of thing, and so they'll scan your face. And
That'd be cool.
And I've heard like at back when they used to do Star Wars Weekends, they would do a face scan, and you could be a stormtrooper, and you'd have a helmet, but you take the helmet off, and it's your
face.
That
would be cool.
That'd be so cool.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
But yeah, they got tons of awesome stuff there. You know, they really do. They got.
Did you manage to learn anything? Because I'm still. What I find it funny, like, so they have some sayings around there. They say "Till the Spire."
Well, what's that?
Well, the Spire is, of course, Black Spire Outpost on Batuu, and it's supposed to be, you know, these. What do you call it? Like petrified trees that are back there that they call the spires. And so till the spire, and I always, if somebody said that to me, I'd have to say, until the spire what?
Yeah, till the spire what, yeah.
But I guess it's supposed to mean until we all meet again or something that. See. But they also say bright suns, and that's something you say like during the day.
I didn't get to
and that's
all
a
that.
Greeting. And then, I guess you didn't get to interact with the, well, quote unquote, cast members, but they're citizens of Batuu.
Yeah,
and there's something, I think they'll even say like bright moons or something like that.
Mm.
So, they have things. The citizens there are supposed to be just living out their day in Batuu.
Fascinating.
And you can even did you get to see the Ithorian who's like owns the pawn shop?
I didn't see that either, but I did. I'll tell you what I like.
It's a beautiful animatronic. I've seen some footage of, and he's in kind of in a cage thing, but he's running the pawn shop. And of course, Ithorian, or to some people, Hammerhead from the toys.
Oh yeah,
but you know, but he's in there, and you can hear him. And it sounds a lot like in, if you ever get to play Knights of the Old Republic when you're talking to Ithorian, they have the because you look at the sides of their mouth and like these vent things where they talk through, so it's different like tonal things. But you can kind of hear him occasionally talk, and some people think that they do have him set up where he can somewhat he'll try to interact if somebody's paying attention to him. But I haven't been able to confirm that. But it looks fantastic. It's basically an Ithorian. He's going around and he's working shelves, and he'll turn around and look at some of the customers in the pawn shop.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
Oh,
I like
to
talk.
There's so much to do in the shops, just interacting. Even if you're not buying things, just being in there, because you're basically in a shop, because the shops are in world. You will not find on Batuu any shirts that say Galaxy's Edge 2019, because you're on Batuu. They don't know what Galaxy's Edge is.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole different world. And I want to get some of the toys because the toys are so cute. Did you get seen of these plushes they have?
Oh, yeah.
Where they look like they're like Star Wars characters, but they're almost a Funko plush. But they're supposed to be what you would have crafted in the world.
They were selling helmets that looked like the stormtroopers. You know,
yeah, I saw
one.
They have an entire First Order section.
They did.
And like this entire store is First Order gear.
Yeah, they did.
My goodness.
I saw that. That was a different. I didn't get to go into that shop personally because we were basically, it was hot. It was hotter than
we wanted
to get out of that area because it was so hot.
Well, you know, you got bright suns out there, so it's hot.
That's right. Two or three.
Not sure how many suns you're supposed to have on Batuu.
Yeah.
One thing, though, I have noticed a nice detail when I'm watching some people shooting some video that occasionally there's a sound, you can hear a ship fly over your head.
I heard some things like that, but I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be that or if it was just supposed to be like little things flying by. But it was pretty neat.
It's just neat to just have that sound, the immersive, and even, you know, walking in the area where I've seen people walking through some trees, walking into the town, and you go past, like, a Jedi Starfighter and X-Wing, that there's exotic, weird animal sounds coming from the trees and bushes that are, like,
it was pretty
planet
neat.
Stuff.
You could hear beep, 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 little stuff like that. Beep, 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 beep.
Just so much immersion, I gotta get in there.
You felt like it was real. I mean, it really
And that's
did.
The idea, just they make it real. I'm so excited.
Yep,
I want to awesome. Check it out, and it'll be really cool, and I got to have money to do it. When they finish up that resort in Walt Disney World, where they have a resort that's completely supposed to be an in-world hotel, and then you can go transport it right there into the Batuu, and you even can get costume, but that would be super
great.
Expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Because the costume, I've heard, is pretty expensive, because it's pretty authentic. Like, if you want to dress like a Jedi, it'll cost you a lot, but you'll look exactly like a movie Jedi.
There you go.
I totally would, though, if I had the money. I mean, like, yes, dress me up like Obi-Wan. yes, sir. And then I'll go and I'll wear that, and I'll go and do my lightsaber ceremony, and I'll get my lightsaber, and I'll have my Jedi robe, and say, that's right, I'm the real thing.
You would love it.
I will force you to believe me. So, alrighty. But I guess it's about time. Unless there's something, other little things you want to throw in about this?
No, just more or less that may the Disney Force be with you.
Oh, indeed. And I'm excited for anybody getting to go check it out in Walt Disney World. I'm excited for you. Just take me with you. Smuggle me in. I don't care. Hey, you're getting on the Millennium Falcon. You're supposed to smuggle stuff. I will stay down to the little cargo hold. If the Force Order tries to stop you, just hit the hyperjets, man. Let's get out of there. You can just smuggle me right in.
Yeah, there we'll you go.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.